Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
That's
how about
exciting.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're listening.
A motivational moment.
I know, right?
Very nice.
You're listening to WHUS 91.7 FM. I am Fran Storch, and this is Radio Naturopath. And for the next hour, you will get inspiration and nice information. And it's the day before Thanksgiving on 2016. And we can talk about food, and we can talk about thanks, and we can talk about, I don't know, good
giving.
Stuff.
Thanks and giving, right?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like related, isn't it?
Yes, that's true.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I guess I'm in a place where it's kind of funny because I'm in a place where I feel like, how shall I say, that it's difficult for me to celebrate right now. And be happy.
Hmm.
That I feel like we're in a time now in our community and in our country and in the world where we have to be vigilant and we have to be in a place where we are being very kind and very supportive because there are people who are going to be marginalized and even hurt.
Hmm.
And I feel like I don't know. If I can, I feel like I don't know if I can celebrate without shouting out to that there are going to be people who are in a harder place than I am. I found myself watching a piece on TV today. There was a nice piece on the Today Show that was about Thanksgiving and all the wonderful food that you can make. And at the end, they had a big celebration. Now, they did say that all of the food that was made was going to go to charity. But there are so many people out there who don't necessarily have a place to go. So this is a time of year to think about that. Are there things you can do to support people who don't have as much as you do? For example, we have this wonderful organization in the Windham area, the No Free Shelter, and there are things you can do to support that. You can volunteer there or you can participate in events that help there. We have the Covenant Soup Kitchen, and they need volunteers and they need food. And I was very pleased to be able to bring a big old box of food over there. That was very exciting. The Mansfield Community Center, for example, they have Giving Week this week. So I think anyone in the community can go and you can take classes in exchange for a food item. So you can donate a food item at the Mansfield Community Center, and that's going to go to local charities. When you go to Stop and Shop right now, you can actually donate groceries. They have little stands set up that are conveniently located at the checkout, and you can actually donate groceries. So you can pick up a few extra things and you can donate them right then and there. So that's a nice thing to do. And if you have clothes that you really aren't wearing, and you have extra clothes, there are so many places that you can donate right now. You can donate to WAIM, the Willimantic Area Interfaith Ministries. And I like donating to WAIM because, it is so local and, things that I'm not using anymore go directly to people in this community who need them. So that's really cool. Especially this time of year, you want to donate warm things, coats and stuff. And if you can't get to the Willimantic Area Interfaith Ministry at a particular time, I believe they can pick stuff up or you can call them and they'll get stuff from your house. And the other thing is you can donate to the Salvation Army and that will get into the hands of people. If it gets into the local store, people can go into the Salvation Army here and purchase things there. And you can donate pretty much anything to the Salvation Army. And that's very nice. So I feel like this is a time of year. In some ways, I'm not a wealthy person. I'm sort of in that tenuous middle class where I'm living a middle class lifestyle and don't have a lot of savings and have an uncertain future. But I live a pretty good lifestyle. I have heat. I have a decent house. I have a nice partner. I have a lot of things to be thankful for. I'm thankful to be alive. 53 years ago this week, I was born. And I was born in a time of turmoil because I was born 6 days after the Kennedy assassination. And so that was a time of turmoil in our lives. And now here I am at 53 and we're at another time of turmoil in this country. And I'm just hoping that there's going to be ways. I'm just hoping everything's going to be okay. That's my big concern with this new administration. The things are not going to be okay. I'm concerned about that. I want people to be able to be happy and healthy and to be able to celebrate and to be able to get together and to make this a country for all of us. And I'm concerned that that's at risk right now.
Things are going to be fine. Everyone will settle down. I think we're a little wound up as a country. I think we're a little wound up, but I don't know. That's what it seems to me.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, it's obviously, you know, there it's different.
Yes, and I'm just wondering just how far this administration's going to go with the difficult social positions it has taken.
Well, you know, there's a constitutional thing here. I don't know that they can really go as far as they have been bragging they can do.
So yes.
I would be less worried about them than you are.
And my concern is that we said he couldn't get the primary. He got the primary.
Oh,
he couldn't get the election. He got the election. And what else did we say that he couldn't get that he's going to be able to get? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's going after the media. He's going after art. He's going after satire.
He has a major roadblock. It's called the Constitution.
If he doesn't successfully suspend it somehow.
He's not used to playing by the rules. He has to play by the rules. That's the way it works.
We'll see.
That's the way it works.
That's what you said about a number of other things, and it didn't pan out that way.
That's the way it works. He's in the big boy pants now.
Okay. Let's hope.
That's the way I look at it. So, anyway. Hey, it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We should talk about Thanksgiving stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you going to do tomorrow for Thanksgiving?
Well, I'm going to get up in the morning with you.
Okay.
And I'm going to put on some rather warm clothes
because
it's going to snow tomorrow.
Well, there's a possibility of that. Yeah.
Yes.
I saw that.
It's going to snow.
That'd be kind of fun.
And in any case, the roads are going to be slick. I'm going to hope that we're not going to fall tomorrow. And we're going to go over to our friend Cindy's house. And then Cindy's going to drive us and her family to the Manchester Road Race.
Yay, Manchester Road
And
Race.
So we're going to do a nice, not quite 5-mile run with 24,000 of our closest friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're
15.
Oh, 15?
Well, it's 15,000 that they can officially register. I think that's the way it works. And then there's probably a couple of people that jump in and bandit the race.
Two or three.
Yeah, 2,000 or 3,000.
Yeah. What are the estimates on banditing?
I don't know. That's a good question. We'd have to ask our friend.
You're not supposed to do that. Don't bandit the race. It's not really okay.
Or if you do, just stay away from the start-finish line so you don't confuse everybody.
But then
it doesn't really matter because, you know, if you're not registered, you don't have a chip. If you don't have a chip, you're not counted. So you could cross the line both ways and no one's going to know because you don't have a chip on. So
they have marshals and they have stuff and they have resources set up for based on a head count.
Yeah, I know.
Really
I know.
You shouldn't bandit
so,
the race.
So yeah, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. No. If you do bandit the race, bring your own food. Bring your own water.
Try not to have a medical
accident or anything so that
you
know, don't have to use the services. I should ask Ken how many people they estimate to bandit the race. That'd be an interesting thing to find out.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they've got it figured out.
We always have a huge fun time there
at
the Manchester Road Race.
Right.
It's a very popular race. As you said, about 15,000 people go in the little town of Manchester. And whenever I walk down Main Street in Manchester, I think about the Manchester Road Race because it's just a really exciting thing. And I associate it with Thanksgiving Day. I've been doing it ever since I met you. So my first Manchester Road Race was in 2005. So this is 2016. So this will be my 12th Manchester Road Race.
Yay.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and we
it's
go
really
every
cool.
year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you missed 2 years ago. You missed.
And a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So I was on consecutive years up to that point. So this is actually going to be my 34th running of the Manchester.
Whoa.
Race. So
that's really nice. So that's a great thing to do. If there's some kind of exercise you can get first thing in the morning, if there's turkey trots anywhere near you in your town, there's turkey trots all over the place. There's different towns have road races. Usually 5Ks, but the Manchester Road Race is not a 5K. I don't understand the distance of the Manchester Road Race.
Maybe I think it was set so many years ago, no one really was measuring courses as much as they are now. I mean, this is 80 years old. It's been going on for a long time.
And I think it's a convenient loop. I think that's what it
is. Well,
I
believe that has a lot to do with it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it happens to be, if you go out Main Street, you turn left on Hartford Road, you turn left again on, what's the road at the Highland Park Market? Whatever that road is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you turn left there and you wind up on
top of the hill, take
center,
a left.
Center Street. And then you come back on Main Street and to the end.
Go down the hill, take a left.
It just happens to be 4.74 or something miles.
Yeah, something like that.
That's what it is. And that, yeah.
And did you know that there's a costume contest?
Oh, for goodness sake. Yeah. Should we be thinking about doing a costume tomorrow?
You should, well, registered runners should show up at the tent on Main Street in front of the Center Memorial Park by the statue of the Three Bears between 8 and 9:30.
Oh, goodness.
On race day. If you want to participate in the
costume contest.
And if not, no big deal. But there'll be people in costume that are not participating in the contest. And
right.
They'll be, like the plaid guys will be there.
Yeah.
The plaid guys are always there. They've been there as long as I've been running that race. The plaid guys have been there. And they all wear plaid sport jackets.
Yeah.
And
they should.
And they have a new member, I think, now, a younger member that is with them, because one of their older members is no longer with them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the plaid guys have been doing it for a long time. And let us not forget Safety Man.
No.
Because Safety Man is like, you know, this guy is, he dresses up in a flight suit with goggles on and headgear, and he tells...
Construction helmet.
And, yeah, and he's got these wands that he waves, and he's like, tells everybody to be safe. He's really funny.
Yeah.
And he has been there for the longest time.
When I first saw him, I thought he was some sort of marshal, that he was had a function.
No, that's his shtick. That's what he does.
Yeah,
he does Safety Man.
And there will be people painted head to toe in one color, or people wearing skin suits from head to toe, even their faces covered in one color, like green or blue or something.
And wearing mostly paint and nothing else.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you do that. It's too cold for me.
There will be people in Hawaiian skirts.
There will.
And nothing else.
Right, right.
Maybe
sneakers. And you know, my friend Kurt used to go there many years. I don't know if he still does this or not. He used to go as a Christmas tree.
Sure. Okay.
And he carried a real live Christmas tree. He was inside of a real live, for 5 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people do crazy things. And you know, that's what we call living.
I should
go as
Lucy 1 year. You know,
you could do that. We could do a Charlie Brown and Lucy theme,
right?
Or a Linus and Lucy theme.
Right. And I could be naturopathic help 5 cents the doctor is in.
Right. And then we could have Vince Giraldi music playing in the background, you know,
Giraldi,
as we're going.
Yes.
Giraldi.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Playing in the background. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it's a thing you do. So it's fun. You know, I was talking about this morning in my fitness walking class, because we had a nice little class this morning and over at the community center. And I have been doing an event before Thanksgiving since I was a little kid.
Wow.
Because my uncle, my uncle Art, used to take us out for these long hikes. And
nice.
It was primarily to get us out of the house so that they could
fix Thanksgiving,
bake pies and make, you know, turkeys and all the food. So get all the kids. So all the cousins would go out with him and he'd take us out for a walk. And
nice.
We'd go do this really long hike walk. And it was just kind of it's something you do before your dinner. So if you're not doing this and you're looking for a healthy thing to do for Thanksgiving, you should go for a walk.
Yeah. Although the weather could be interesting tomorrow.
Go for a walk with the proper clothing.
And boots.
And boots, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. You really, it's supposed to snow, huh?
Yeah, that's supposed to be,
right. I guess I missed that. I'm not paying attention.
It's going to be like slick roads and
stuff. Too busy
doing
other
things.
I
don't think it's going to be like, 2 feet or anything, but we're going to get some weather tomorrow.
Well, that's not necessarily...
Thanksgiving Day, chance drizzle, freezing drizzle, then chance drizzle.
Not until the evening.
Oh,
by the looks of this, but
right.
I'm not a weather forecaster.
Yeah, they were saying that tomorrow morning there could be some interesting issues. So,
yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't believe it until I see it.
It's not going to keep us home, so
no,
I
no,
mean,
not
we're,
at all.
We're going, so that's that. Right, and so this weekend I usually, because I'm gonna have a birthday soon. I usually do some kind of ride, and I think this is going to be one of those years that my ride will be curtailed because they are planning some weather on Friday. So Friday's not going to be a wonderful day to plan stuff. Rain and areas fog. Mm-hmm. Sunday would be the day to do it. And I think the thing to do would be a very short ride, either that or a hike.
53 minutes.
53-minute ride. Yeah. Yes, you could do that.
You could do that.
I'd probably do a little more than 53
minutes.
Well,
there has to be a theme around 53.
Yes.
Right?
Well, we could have... How about we have a deck of cards and one joker? Because, you know, on Thanksgiving, my parents, you know, they were very sad about the Kennedy assassination. Mm. And then Thanksgiving Day came and they had a little turkey.
Yeah. Yeah. You.
Uh-huh.
Fran the turkey.
Right. Right. And then, so this year, you know, we could have a deck of cards plus a joker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. And that'll be, you know, it's a 52 plus one.
Right.
So that's kind of a cool thing. All right. And... And the other thing is, the other thing I've been seeing is Small Business Saturday. So this Saturday is supposed to be Small Business Saturday, so it's a day to patronize your small businesses.
Yeah, support those guys.
So this would be a nice time to wander around, particularly stores in Willimantic, because you have Store Center and there's all kinds of small businesses in Store Center. And then if you go down to Willimantic, there's
some
places
to, I know. You can support all of them. There's a variety of stores in both areas. So.
There's a variety of stores and stores and a variety
agree.
Of stores in Willimantic.
I used to be one of those small businesses.
Yes.
You know, so support brick and mortar. Brick and mortar needs your support.
Yes.
They need your help. And, you know, I know that it's convenient for some people to shop online. But, you know, remember there's people in your community that could use a little
Well, there's
boost.
All these cool food places, too. I mean, you can just, because you can go down Main Street now and there's more cool places to hang out.
Yeah.
So that would be a thing to do, too.
Yeah.
So, and then speaking of food, of course, because Thanksgiving tomorrow, everybody thinks of gathering together. One of the things people are talking about is how to be around your table and talk politics.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Not in my family.
I think we're going to be all right. I think we're pretty aligned.
We're pretty surrounded by a giant blue bubble in my family, so
right.
It's not going to be a real problem.
No, I think
Plus,
so.
Plus, we get to talk to my nephew, who's coming in from Washington, D.C.
Right.
Which
That'll
is going to
be fascinating.
Very, very interesting, yeah.
Yes, I almost want to interview him.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Maybe we should bring a recorder and interview him.
You could check one out here, and we could bring a recorder with
bring
us.
Bring a recorder, and we'll interview him, and then we'll talk to him about his take on what's going on in the world and what it's like to be in Washington.
Yeah.
But I think
Thanksgiving is more, you know, more the topic right now.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I guess.
I mean, you know, we should talk about, I sent you a couple little links for, in your Gmail
yeah,
account.
Yeah, I saw that. And we're talking about the healthier Thanksgiving plate.
Healthy Thanksgiving things and how to, the one that I found really humorous was avoiding the food coma. What's a food coma, Dr. Storch?
So there's a couple of things avoiding the food coma. So
thought that was humorous when I saw that.
Is it on here?
Well, it's the Reader's Digest one that I sent you, and it the link on it said avoiding the food coma.
Avoiding the food coma.
Six
That's
healthy Thanksgiving
funny.
Tips, 1 through 6. So avoiding the food coma was the highlight when I Googled it, and I just thought that was just too funny.
Yeah, where is that?
It's six healthy Thanksgiving tips is what it is.
Yeah.
When I Googled healthy eating Thanksgiving, there was that's how they attracted me because it said avoiding the food coma, and that's what I clicked
on. Yeah, so this is the thing, too.
It's fun.
I mean, there's some good advice here, and a lot of this advice is about how to not eat too much on Thanksgiving. And I'm just kind of like,
well,
should you even bother?
People kind of tend to stuff themselves. I think the key here is that.
So one of the things I want to throw out
there, if you sit down with a huge plate of food, you get stuffed. And
yeah, one of the things I want to throw out there is that this one day is not going to make or break you. So if you want to eat tomorrow, you should eat. You know, the feasting is a thing, and it's okay to feast. I mean, you know, and I hope that, like, for example, the Covenant Soup Kitchen, I hope they have a wonderful meal plan.
Yes,
for,
I'm sure they will.
For Thursday as well. Mm-hmm. And that even people who don't have will be able to go there and feast.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, there's all these, ideas of how not to eat too much on Thanksgiving. And I'm like, you know, if most of the time you're eating healthfully, so you eat a little more tomorrow. So it's not going to make or break you.
You can also pace yourself. You don't have to put it all down at
right.
once.
Right. But let's talk about what some of the things that they're telling you.
Okay.
So you said avoiding the food coma. So what? Let's define our terms here. What is a food coma?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a couple things going on. I suppose if you eat enough turkey, turkey is relatively, for foods in general, it's relatively high in tryptophan. Some people are more sensitive to the tryptophan in turkey than others, because you're going to take that tryptophan and you make serotonin, it's going to make you sleepy. So that's one thing. So if you eat lots of turkey, you might get that serotonin sleepiness.
Right.
But the other thing is if you eat a big meal, it's going to make you sleepy. And why is that? Because you have this autonomic nervous system, and the autonomic nervous system is divided into fight or flight and rest and digest. And so the fight or flight is called the sympathetic nervous system,
mm-hmm.
and the rest and digest is the parasympathetic nervous system. And they're in a continuum with each other. You have different receptors in your body, in your muscles, in your secreting glands. So I'm talking about your eyes and your respiratory system and your digestive system. And then you have where the energy and blood flow is directed based on whether you're in higher sympathetic or parasympathetic tone. And so if you are in a relaxed state and you eat a lot of food,
mm-hmm.
then your body's going to go into rest and digest mode. You're going to favor rest and digest mode, especially if you don't have to go and get exercise right afterwards, which we hope you don't.
You're going to get sleepy.
You get sleepy. And, and why do you get sleepy? Because if you eat a lot of food, very simply, most of the circulation is going to go towards digesting that food. So it's going to be taken away from things like your extremities, your legs, your arms, even your brain. So your body's going to want you to rest so it can digest that food, because a lot of your circulation is going to go into your digestive system. So it's very simple. That's one of the reasons you get sleepy. And also, a lot of the neurotransmitters in your body, the ones that keep you awake, the ones that favor digestive motility, like a big one that favors digestive motility is serotonin. So if you throw a lot of food into your digestive system, you're going to kick out more serotonin. Serotonin tends to make you sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that, so simply eating turkey has a lot of tryptophan in it, and turkey is a component of serotonin, which is this neurotransmitter that can make you sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you eat the turkey, you're making more serotonin just from that. And then if you just simply go and eat a big meal, you're going to make a lot of serotonin.
Right.
So.
Snore time.
Yeah.
So, how about this? It says here one of the tips they give you is to toss the turkey skin and get rid of the fat. How do you feel about that? Because I know
right.
you're not necessarily an anti-fat person.
That is right.
And so I thought that this first tip here, which said, you know, toss the skin, because it's delicious, of course, but it's also high in fat, and they say that you shouldn't even have it on your plate. So how
right.
do you feel about that?
So right. So here's the thing. So there's this is speaking to fat phobia. If your turkey is organic and free range, there's some good quality fats in that skin. You don't necessarily not have to eat it. The thing is that people who tend to overeat all the time, and you're gonna get into this meal for a couple grand worth of calories, and you want to maybe not have so many calories, it's a way to reduce your calories, because fat loss happens in an atmosphere of hormonal balance. There is a calorie deficit, and we know that if you have 100 calories of turkey breast versus 100 calories of chocolate, of, you know, sugary chocolate,
mm-hmm.
the 100 calories of turkey breast is going to behave in your body very differently than the sugary chocolate. The turkey
sure
breast
is
mm-hmm. it'll still stimulate your insulin, but not to the same degree. It's going to cause much, much more satiety. You're going to be very satisfied eating the turkey breast. The turkey breast, you don't have a great system to convert protein into fat. It can happen. You can convert, you can do gluconeogenesis, turning protein into sugar so that you can use it for energy. But it's not a preferred thing that happens. Whereas if you eat sugary chocolate, the sugar that's in that chocolate is going to get, it's going to go right into your system to be used for energy. And what's not used for energy is going to be turned into fat. So the behavior in your body of the turkey versus the sugary stuff is going to be very different. Having said that, if you eat lots of calories and you don't burn it off, you're going to gain weight. If you're in a hormonal status where you're peaceful and calm and you eat the exact same diet, if you are generally in a peaceful and calm place in your life, you will gain less weight than if you're exhausted and stressed. Because when you have more cortisol around, cortisol tends to put sugar into your blood. It favors you having fight or flight, and it puts sugar into your blood. So unless you are constantly moving and getting rid of that extra sugar that's in your blood, you're going to gain weight, or you're going to have trouble losing weight. So so the thing is, when you're talking about cutting calories at the Thanksgiving table, they're talking about how fat – one of the things they're talking about is cutting calories altogether. Mm-hmm. The other thing is talking about the fat phobia, the phobia that fat is a bad food and it's bad for you. And in fact, when you talk about the behavior of fat in your body versus other foods, if you're taught – now, mind you, you have to be talking about high-quality fat. So if it's high-quality saturated fat – it's not hydrogenated, but it's just good old saturated fat from an animal source. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be harmful to you, and it doesn't even raise your insulin. That's the cool thing about fat. Fat is very satisfying, and it doesn't raise your insulin. So even though it's high in calories, and if you eat way too many calories of fat, you can gain weight. If you have a healthy amount of fat in your diet, it helps you to feel satisfied. It makes things taste good, and you're going to be more satiated. You're going to feel full and satisfied in shorter order. Also, a free-range turkey is going to have essential fatty acids in it, which are actually good for you. The saturated fats and the omega-3 fats that are in that turkey skin, are actually going to help you with all the things that essential fats happen, the anti-inflammatory compounds, helping with healthy cell membranes, helping with healthy membrane transport, helping with anti-inflammatory systems in your body. So you're going to get essential fatty acids from that turkey skin if it's free-range and organic. If it's been fed on corn and it's not free-range and organic, then you might have some unhealthier fats that you're going to be looking at arachidonic acid. You're going to be looking at linoleic acid. So once you get into too many omega-6 fats, it's maybe not a good idea. So if your turkey is not organic and it's not organic and free range, you might want to skip the skin. And it's not because of it's not so much because of the fat calories. It's because there's likely to be linoleic acid in there. There's likely to be unhealthy fats that cause inflammation. Really? I'm more worried about the inflammation than I am about the calories and fat. Now, like I said, if you have a thing where you sit down every night and you eat like half a can of nuts, mm-hmm. even if they're raw organic nuts, mm-hmm. you're probably going to, unless you're burning those off, you're going to gain weight. Okay. All right, because they're high in calories.
Right.
If you moderate your nuts and you eat a reasonable amount, then you're going to get your essential fatty acids. You're not going to get too many calories, and you get all the benefits of those nuts. There's a lot of fiber in nuts. There's fiber in nuts. There's healthy fats. Nuts have a low – they have a very nice carbohydrate to protein profile. So they're not going to be as fat-inducing, again, as, you know, sugary stuff.
Okay.
Because they have fiber and they have fat and they have protein in them, so they mm-hmm. so any carbohydrate that's in them, they mitigate that. There's a lot less carbohydrate than there is other things that help to moderate your. So when you eat, again, if you eat 100 calories of peanuts, of organic peanuts, they're going to behave in your body very differently than 100 calories of gummy bears. That because they have this healthy linoleic acid. The other thing that I've read is that when you eat nuts, you don't even absorb a lot of the fat because there's so much fiber in it that some of the fat just comes out comes out the other end, which is not a bad thing.
That's interesting. Hmm.
Yeah, so you don't even get all the calories in those peanuts.
Okay.
You have to remember that when you're talking about calories in a food, when you say these peanuts have 100 calories in them, what that means is that if you took those peanuts and you burned them to ash, it would release 100 kilocalories of energy when you did that. It doesn't speak about what actually goes on when it gets inside your body. There's many complex things that happen. And that's why if you eat two isocaloric diets, two diets that are exactly the same, and one of them has a whole bunch of healthy foods, it has high quality protein, high quality fat, fruits and vegetables, high quality fiber, very little refined sugar, maybe small amounts of whole grains, especially if they're not modern wheat, versus the same calorie diet where you're eating white flour and you're eating too much dairy and you're eating poor quality meats and you're not eating a lot of produce. One could potentially lose weight, depending on the caloric content. One could potentially lose weight and one could potentially gain weight. Or at the very least, the two diets, the person's going to lose less weight on the poor quality diet than they are on the high quality diet. Because that's how stuff behaves in your body. So it's an interesting question. Why should you eat the turkey skin or not? My answer is, so there's a few things, there's two things operative here. When I go to Thanksgiving, you know, we're going to go to your sister's house and there's going to be a spread and it's going to be amazing. And you're probably going to make something.
Or two.
And I'm going to make a chocolate flourless tort.
Yum. I can't
Yay.
Wait. It sounds great.
Because usually I make the, I make apple crisp and nobody can, we always end up taking it home because nobody cares.
Make the tort.
I love apple crisp.
I love the tort.
And I saw Giada on TV and she made a dulce de leche.
Who's Giada?
Giada De Laurentiis. She's a food personality on TV and the Food Network and NBC and stuff. Anyway,
right.
So she made this cake
or
a pie, and she made a graham cracker crust, which we could do gluten free.
Yes, we can.
We could just crumble up graham crackers. We could either find chocolate graham crackers, or you could get.
They make gluten free graham crackers.
You can get gluten free graham crackers and put chocolate in it and mix it in, and then you have a chocolate crust. And then she bought store bought dulce de leche, which is like a caramel sauce. And she mixed in chocolate chunks and walnuts. and she made a pie.
Sounds like ridiculously yummy.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I'm thinking about it. I don't know. That sounds really decadent. I'm a lover of pecan pie, and I don't get to have it much, and I haven't learned how to make one, and it's probably complicated. I don't think I'm going to go there this year, but because there's that sugary inside that you have to boil, and I don't know. Probably
yeah,
invite.
I don't know how to do it.
I think the thing to do is invite Kate over and do it with her.
My history with baking has not been good.
Oh.
So
yeah.
I'm okay with cooking, but not so good with baking.
I like
What's
baking.
With that? It's kind of weird.
Well, I
Some
enjoy
people are
it.
Better
it's
bakers
fun.
Than others.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a great baker, but I enjoy doing it. And if it doesn't come out perfect, I don't care. So.
I'm thinking chocolate tort sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking anything that's got chocolate in it sounds good, but you know me.
And your sister's good with that too.
Oh, yeah, we are cut from the same cloth.
Okay,
yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah,
literally.
chocolate is never a problem. Yes, literally. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, and I could find it, see if I have any raspberry jam to smush on the top.
Sure,
like
that's,
I did last
that,
time.
That would work fine. That'd be fine. So, yeah, sounds good. Do
so,
that.
So, yeah, my flourless chocolate tort is going to have no flour in it.
Mm.
But it's going to have a bunch of eggs. I don't think there's any butter in it. I think, and if there is butter, I'm going to, well, no, I think the flourless chocolate tart, if there's butter in it, I'll put the butter in. It's the black
it's
bean.
Mostly eggs?
I want to make, right. Yeah.
So
that's what holds it
sounds
together.
Sounds more like a quiche.
Yeah.
kind of, sort of.
But that's what a flourless tort often is. It's a lot of eggs and chocolate and sugar, and that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you bake it, and it comes together. So you're right. It's like a souffle or a quiche.
Yeah.
There's no.
Sounds great.
Oh yeah. So
go for
so
it.
So that'll be
sounds
nice.
Sounds good.
So anyway, so in your Thanksgiving meal, you know, different people have different sorts of Thanksgiving meals, and a lot of this advice is about how to build a healthier Thanksgiving plate, which is fine if you want to do that. And you know, they've got tips so you don't overeat. And again. do you care about that? You know, is this a day where you really care about not overeating?
Or is it the day that you just go, the heck with it. I'm just going to have at it and have a good time. And you can't gain like that much weight on one day.
No, it's that.
It takes days of
and
build
yes,
up.
And the problem is with winter weight gain is that people have the eating season and they start eating at Halloween. And they keep eating, you know, through Christmas and New Year's, and then they gained a few pounds.
I said that at spin class this morning. I said, let the eating system begin. And the eating season begin.
Yes.
And I got a lot of chuckles from that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't consider it the eating season, like if you have your feast on Thanksgiving and then you just, you know, eat pretty much how you normally eat the rest of the time, and then you have another feast on Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever.
Yeah, but then there's parties, and, you know, people like to do a lot of gathering this time of year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you end up at somebody's house or, you know, whatever, at a big party of some sort. There's people that have office parties from their work.
Well, and people have office goodies all the time.
And then there's, people that bring in goodies, right, that just, you know, they get this into this habit of baking for the holidays.
Right.
They can't keep it all at home because if they do, then they'll eat it all at home, and then they won't be able to get in the office door.
Or
so they just bring it in and share it with everybody.
Yeah, or they just bring it in and share it because it's a nice thing to do. So there's a lot of eating that. So there's two things that happen. It's cold, and you want to eat more.
Sure, you do.
You know, and that's a normal impulse, and
you're trying to stay warm.
Right. Yeah. And so there's a lot of us that if we don't pay attention to what we eat, we're just going to balloon out. I'm one of them. You're not, but
I am. Not. But anyway, hey, here's a tip for you. Eat breakfast before your Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah.
Have a hearty breakfast.
That's one tip.
That's kind of a no-brainer.
No, it's not.
No?
No.
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 Oh, well.
Because that's going to work for some people and is not going to work for others. I would tend to eat very lightly before my Thanksgiving meal because I'm going to conserve, me personally, because I know my body, I'm going to conserve the calories. And in fact, the whole eating breakfast thing is controversial. And guess what the bottom line is? If eating breakfast helps you to be at a healthier weight, you should eat breakfast. If not eating breakfast helps you to be at a healthy weight, you can skip breakfast.
Eating breakfast helps me from tipping over.
And you are unusual.
Yeah.
I'm just going to point that
I
out.
Mean,
that
you know, if I don't eat breakfast, I'm worthless.
Awesome. You are unusual. Mm. So that, you know, the type of person. So as we know, there are those basic metabolic types. There's the carb type, the protein type, and the mixed type. And the most common type is the mixed type, people who need to eat a little bit of carbohydrate but mostly need to eat protein and produce. There are, to a lesser extent, there are people who really do well with protein and non-starchy vegetables. And you are the rarest type, the carb type, the person who has a high metabolism and can eat many calories and stay slender. That's very unusual, and that's not what most people are dealing with. So for you to need to eat breakfast, I'm very different from you. I haven't eaten yet today, and I'm okay. And I think that going for periods of time without eating works for me. Mm. And so. Mind you, there are some of you listening to this who, if you were to leave the house and not have anything to eat, you would be like Ron, you'd be tipping over, and that's fine. But I want to point out that everybody is different. And if you're the kind of person who can go a long time without eating and you're having trouble losing weight, there is a style of eating called intermittent fasting. So what you do is you go through... There's two basic ways to do it. One is that you have 2 days a week where you eat very few calories.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of thoughts on that. One is that you simply limit 2 days a week to 500 to 600 calories on that day, or instead of counting calories, no matter what your basic metabolic type is, those 2 days a week you only eat non-starchy vegetables and protein, and you don't eat any fruit, you don't eat any grain, you just eat non-starchy vegetables and protein, and don't worry about the calories, but just you cut out all, you know, dairy, sugar, grains, only eat non-starchy vegetables and protein 2 days a week, and don't worry about the calories. And then the rest of the week you eat normally and reasonably healthy. You don't overdo it, but the rest of the week you eat reasonably healthy. The other way to do it is to limit the time of day that you eat. So you only eat within an 8-hour span every day. So the rest of the time, so there's a 16-hour span that you are not eating. And the benefits of that, if you are not Ron and his ilk, the benefit of that is that your digestive system gets a break. You lower your insulin because it's not being stimulated by food, and your digestive system has time to heal. Because one of the things about Ron is Ron has a fast gut transit time. Things make it from end to end relatively quickly. If you're somebody like me, that's not the case. I'm going to be absorbing more of my food because I have more, I have a slower gut transit time, and I have more opportunity to absorb stuff because of that. So if you're more like me, which you probably are, if you're hearing within the sound of my voice, metabolically, chances are you're like me. Why? Because I'm the most common metabolic type, and so probably are you. And like I've said before, if most people were like Ron, most people in this country would be slender. The truth is that most people in this country are overweight. Even our president-elect, who last time we checked, his BMI was 29. And he might be obese by now. Who knows?
But his doctor says he's very healthy.
I know. Yeah. Well, I was reading up on
we're not going to go there, right?
I was reading up on Trump's health. He was he's on a cholesterol med, and he takes a baby aspirin as well.
Well, he's 70 what?
70 years old.
70 years old. Yes. So, I mean, you know, these things catch up with you when you get older. For some people, they do.
Yeah. Well,
I know 70-year-old guys that are like. Just amazing.
We don't know whether he exercised. It didn't say whether he exercises or not, and it didn't comment too much on his diet. There are some news sources that say he eats a lot of fast food, so he's gonna have lipid issues. And I mean, what's his name? Morgan Spurlock proved that on Super Size Me.
Right.
All right. So thanks. So here's some of the issues with. So here's some of the suggestions for Thanksgiving dinner. If you want to go the route of not eating too much, there's some suggestions here. Start with soup is one of them. Mm-hmm. And starting with soup is a nice idea. So soup, in any case, this time of year, I love soup.
I know you
and
do.
And there's great soups that you can eat. One soup for Thanksgiving would be something like a butternut squash soup or a squash carrot soup with ginger in it. That kind of thing is really good. You could do broccoli carrot soup. You could do a kale soup. I really love to make tomato borscht. I love that with beets and tomatoes and then lots of veggies in it. I think that's delicious.
You should do that.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So tomato borscht is absolutely wonderful. Chili, although you wouldn't make chili for Thanksgiving.
No.
But
you could do like a potato leek type thing or something like that.
Yeah.
That would be good.
The soup, you want the soup for Thanksgiving. You want it to be on the light side. Because one of the things is, for me, now not everybody does this. Some people can eat until they're stuffed. I really can. If you're not a person who can eat till you're stuffed, you have to be careful how much you eat. And if you undo your appetite, you're going to get, past the crudités, and you're not going to be able to eat anymore. Yeah. So if I eat too much, I have to eat little bits of stuff or else I won't be able to try all the different things that there are.
Right.
So I have to pace myself. Because I fortunately, since avoiding gluten, I now have satiety. I get to a certain point, meaning I'm satisfied.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a word that means satiety means the act of being satiated or having eaten enough food and feeling like you've eaten enough food and not wanting to eat anymore. I get to that point and I'm like, all right, I'm done eating. I don't feel like eating anymore. And feeling satiety is a skill. Not everybody gets that. And that's one reason why people are overweight. They don't pay attention to their satiety signals. They just can't feel them or they eat past their satiety. But learning how to pay attention to when you're full, that's a way to control your weight and control how much you eat. But if you want to enjoy all the food that's there, then what you have to do is take little tastes of lots of things.
Right.
And so, but if you're concerned about not overeating and not eating too many calories, one of the things is having the soup because that's going to mellow out how full you feel. You can have lots of, it says fill up your plate 50% with non-starchy vegetables.
Yeah,
and it
this
gives
one
a list.
Actually says two-thirds of your plate with rainbow vegetables.
Sure, you could do that too. So. Your green beans, your carrots, your Brussels sprouts, your leafy greens, your, salad kinds of things. And you don't do such high portions of your corn, potatoes, and peas, and winter squash. You you know, maybe a quarter of your plate or less of that. And if you want to taste those things, you have tastes of those things, but don't pile those on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do those, the non-starchy vegetables, season them and season them really nice, you know, with a little bit of olive oil and a lot of different spices and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
This one says fill up on skinless turkey breast. Again, the skinless turkey breast deal, if it's organic
depends
and free range and you can afford the calories, eat the skin. It's fine as far as I'm concerned. If the if it's not free range and organic, you might want to skip the skin.
Right.
And then, you know, they talk about how much turkey you should eat and not. And again, I think the thing to do is to eat the turkey to your,
you got to know your turkey. If your turkey was an athlete and ate well and didn't get lots of nasty chemicals pumped into it, then it's probably fine.
Right. And I just don't know how much turkey can someone eat. Maybe people can eat lots of turkey. But again, when you're eating protein, when you eat a bag of potato chips, you can't eat just one.
Right.
And before you know it, you can be through most of a large bag of potato chips.
Or popcorn, yes.
Or popcorn. So, well, popcorn, the thing with popcorn is relatively low calorie.
Right.
And so it's not a great example because you can eat a lot of popcorn. One reason you can eat a lot of popcorn is it doesn't have a lot of calories in it. If you don't season your popcorn very much, there's not a lot of oil on it. You 3 cups and you're 100 calories. It's really very low calorie stuff. It's popcorn gets more caloric once you start because popcorn is a lot of air. So once you start putting stuff on it, that's when it has more calories. So if you get your chocolate drizzled popcorn, your candy drizzled popcorn, there's like that. You have like peppermint drizzled popcorn now and chocolate drizzled popcorn.
Or you can just put butter and salt on it.
Right. And depending on how much butter you put on it, again, that can you can be getting into a calorie situation. But potato chips.
Back to potato chips.
The point of potato chips is you've got that scary combination of starch and fat. And when you have that starch and fat kicks on your neuropeptide Y. Neuropeptide Y says, you're not full and you're never full. And that's the same thing that kicks on when you eat ice cream and you eat pizza. What do you want when you have one pizza after you have one piece of pizza?
Another one.
What do you want after you have another piece of pizza?
Another one.
What do you want after you have another piece of pizza?
Another one.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to neuropeptide Y. So you're going to kick on your neuropeptide Y if you eat starch and fat or sugar and fat together. That makes you want to eat. So when you eat turkey, turkey is not very fatty, which is one reason why you have to put gravy on it or cranberry sauce. Because turkey is something I find, because I tend to prefer breast meat, and the breast meat is on the dry side, I tend to eat the breast meat. And there's only so much I could eat because protein is very satisfying. And you don't get into a neuropeptide Y situation with protein. So if you eat your turkey, you're going to slow down how full you are. And so the other thing they're suggesting is your high-calorie sides, your starchy sides like your mashed potato, stuffing, yams. Don't pile them on. Eat a little bit. Enjoy them. And then when you have your dessert, practice portion control. And then the other thing is, you know, when we go to Sister Susan, she very kindly provides us with lovely things before the meal. So you have to watch how much of that stuff you eat. She puts out nuts and cheese and crackers and shrimp cocktail. That's usually what we get. And that's wonderful. It's really delicious, especially the shrimp cocktail, which I don't eat all year. And then I have that and I really appreciate it. But if you fill up on that stuff, first of all, you're not going to enjoy your food as much. That's one of the reasons why I tend to eat lightly before Thanksgiving. I'm not going to have a big breakfast before Thanksgiving because I really want to enjoy my food. Because if I'm overstuffed, I'm not going to enjoy eating it. But again, if you go into the meal very hungry, you might be more likely to overeat if you care about that. So I think what Ron brought up a great point, and that's that it's not so much what you do on Thanksgiving Day or on any one day. It's the whole eating season that's the issue. And that the goodies are at work. You're invited to gatherings. You're invited to potlucks. You're hosting potlucks. And there's lots of parties. You know, you're going to go to some gathering at somebody's house every few days. So that gets to be an issue. So you do have to practice. If you're concerned about weight gain, you do have to practice portion control and you have to practice what you're going to eat. And you have to, you know, practice meeting out your calories throughout the day if that's an issue for you. And the other thing to do is people have a hard time with this one is maintaining your exercise. We don't have, we're in the habit of doing that, but a lot of people are not in the habit of doing that. And especially if you're a person who likes to exercise outside, the weather kind of tanks this time of year. And you're not used to it because you're still, very rapidly, you go from every so often in October, you still have 70-odd degree days to November, where you have the odd day where it snows. And, you know, you're expected to acclimate to that. And you don't really acclimate to that until sometime in December, maybe into January. So because people are acclimating to the cold, the cold really feels unpleasant and they're less likely to go outside. So if you're an outdoor exerciser, you might be moving indoors. And this is one thing that I hear a lot. Well, I was walking all through the summer, but it got cold, so I stopped. And they don't figure out something else to do. So maintaining your exercise this time of year is a great thing to do. Even if it's just walking, figure out a way to bundle up. I always tell people, figure out a way to get that exercise. Have something you can do outdoors on days that you're willing to go out, something you can do indoors inside your home, and something you can do outdoors or out of your house that's indoors, but not at home, whether it's a single class somewhere or belonging to a community center or a gym. Find things that you're willing to do outside your house. If you can maintain your exercise through this time of year, that can help to mitigate how much you're eating. But the other thing to do, it's very hard to do, is to practice portion control. There's something you really want to eat, so have one of them. And the other thing to do is, if you're willing to do this, is to track. Use your fitness tracker. This is when the old Fitbit. Use your Fitbit and also use the tracker that goes along with the Fitbit. By the way, I have my Fitbit. I haven't set it up. I'm going to ask you to help me set it up. Because
maybe we should do that with our little Thanksgiving off, kind of days off, couple days off.
Yeah, because I just haven't done it yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to, because you have to sit in front of a computer and log in and stuff.
Yeah, you
got to
kind of log it in and do your thing. So electronic stuff.
Right. So that you can, there are all kinds of apps online that you can use to do, use as a tracker. And the neat thing about that is that you have your tracker with you. As long as you have your cell phone with you, you have your tracker with you. So you can be tracking anywhere. And if you have a calorie or nutrition goal set for the day, you can track that. And so if you're not sure if you should have that extra piece of pie, you can look at your tracker and see, hey, how many calories or how many carbs do I have left for the day? If you're willing to do that, and it can be a useful tool, and it can mitigate how much weight you gain during this time of year. And then, you know, on the days that you don't have a gathering, because you're not going to have a gathering every day, eat a little bit less. You know, this idea of intermittent fasting isn't a bad one. Again, if weight gain is a problem for you. If weight gain isn't a problem for you, then it's not so much of an issue. But if you're most of the people, if you're in that 70% of Americans that are overweight, or you're in that most of Americans who are not carb types and can eat whatever they want not gain weight, then watching how much you eat is a useful thing to do. And I think the problem is that you have to build willpower, and willpower is not natural. What is natural for humans is to be in a famine situation, because when we were hunter-gatherers, food was hard to come by. You had to wait till an animal was down, or you had to kill an animal, and then you had to go foraging for vegetables and nuts and berries and, you know, fruits that you could eat. And, you know, you didn't have, like, you didn't have a situation where you go to the hardware store and there's candy in the checkout. That didn't happen when we were in paleo times. So in those times, you had a situation where most of the time there wasn't food around. So we are designed, first of all, to store food in our bodies. And second of all, we're designed to, when we see food, we want to eat it. And that's normal. So if you feel like you have a hard time not eating, that's okay. You're normal. Willpower is a muscle that you have to build and you have to exercise, and it's normal to have a hard time with it. So know that that's an issue, but there are tools that you can use. Like I said, if you eat foods that are high in fiber, that they're high in healthy fats and protein, you're going to have a little more success in eating less food or eating a higher quality diet that's not going to cause so much weight gain. And if you, at this time of year, my advice would be, if you want to try the different foods that are around, if you want to have that little piece of chocolate, you want to have that piece of cake or pie, You know, you want to have those messed potatoes. You want to track and you want to exercise, and those, whatever kind of tracking method you want to use, whether you use an app, write it down on paper, use your Fitbit, whatever you want to use, those would be the ways to do it. So in any case, I wish you all a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving and an exciting time. If you're getting together with friends or family, if you're having a Friendsgiving, or if you're having a family Thanksgiving, I hope your time is enjoyable and that you have some good community situations and that you have places you can be where you can be happy. And we will be back next week with more Radio Naturopath here on 91.7 FM WHUS Storrs.